back. WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into Festivus. Playoff season. I got the purple lights out. We're going to be celebrating the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, our first stop of this year, with our friends in the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be doing it at GNA, Coney Island Hot Dog. We're going to be in White Marsh. I got some Raven Scratch-Offs, some Holiday Cash Drops, some leftovers from last year, some winners in here, I promise you. Come on out on Thursday, 1 to 4. Say hello. It's our friends from Wise Markets. Nick's going to be joining us out there as well. The billion-dollar question all week will be Lamar Jackson, and the Cincinnati Bengals, and Sunday. Luke Jones joins us now. He'll be in Owings Mills talking about all that. Luke, I want to go in a different direction, though, because this is a fun week here, and everybody's picking winners. And you know, if I would have thought really hard about it, I would have taken every one of those apps, and I would have started my gambling, my new addiction this week, and I would have gotten my $200 and all that, and just would have bet against the Ravens, starting a third-string quarterback, right? And I can't believe the thing was still on the board. This week, the board begins with the presupposition and something that you're an insider and you would not presuppose, that Lamar Jackson's actually going to play on Sunday night. I don't think, if I asked you right now, bet a dollar one way or another, what would you do? But in all these other places, there's optimism, there's bye weeks in Kansas City, your brother-in-law and Brett Dickinson, all the little Eagle fans are all up in arms about their 34%. Yeah, I like that when Kornacki would give him 34% the other night. So there's a number for everything. You're a nerd about all of this and statistical breakdowns and all that. This traditionally is when the fun really begins, and the AFC has some really high quality teams. If the Ravens were to be in Glendale a couple weeks from now, they would have beaten some really good football teams.
No question about it. And the AFC in general, look at the quarterbacks. I mean, we know about Patrick Mahomes. We know about Joe Burrow. We know about Lamar Jackson being a former NFL MVP. Justin Herbert, you know, he's in the postseason for the first time. He's someone who's gotten a lot of individual attention, individual accolades. But I think the big question, and this was reiterated with what they did on Sunday, is Brandon Staley and that coaching staff. Why in the heck were the Chargers playing their starters so deep into the game? But I digress on that. But you go down the
Justin
list.
Justin Herbert got great hair. I want to point that out as somebody who has hair. Yes,
he does. No question. You know, does Tua Tagovailoa come back? I mean, that's the big question for the Dolphins, if they have any shot whatsoever against the Bills. But, you know, I'm glad you brought up that this is fun. As frustrating as the back half of the Ravens season has been, they are in the playoffs. They are playing Sunday night rather than talking like the Browns, who just fired their defensive coordinator, or talking about these teams that are having their season-ending press conference, or the Texans losing the number one pick and then firing Lovie Smith. I mean,
there's drama everywhere. Harbaugh's brother's calling everywhere saying, please hire me. Get me out of here before the NCAA police come, right?
Literally. Right, right. So you look at this, and that's where you look at the Ravens, and look, I'm not trying to paint a rosy picture that everything's fine. I get it. There's a lot of drama, and there's going to be a lot of drama whenever their season comes to an end, whether it's Sunday night, 2 weeks from now, or who knows. If they make it to the Super Bowl, it'll be interesting to see what happens, you know, by that unlikely scenario. But,
and even that is soon. Soon, they're going to be dealing with these issues. Soon,
sure.
The tenor here is going to change from Lamar's knee to Lamar's money.
Yeah, no question. But let's remember.
I'm going to write that down. That was funny. Hold on.
That was pretty good. That was good. But yeah, Let's remember, in the meantime, we got a football game to play Sunday night. And we got playoff football. And, you know, with the national championship game being played this week, you know, football's coming to an end. Let's remember that. And that's not to say that I don't like basketball and college basketball. It's nice to see the Terps get a much needed win on Sunday. And, you know, we're getting closer and closer to spring training and all of that. But we'll miss football when it's over. So when you do look at this playoff field, there's a lot of intrigue. There's something interesting about just about all these games, right? I mean, even though you look at the Jaguars and the Chargers and you say, oh, okay, a West Coast team and the Jaguars, I mean, they were the number one pick this year, right? I mean, I think that game has a lot of intrigue for Saturday night. You know, two really talented young quarterbacks, and I think two teams that probably match up to play a pretty interesting football game. I mean, you got division rivals of Seattle and the 49ers, although I think the 49ers will roll because they might be the best team in the NFL right now. That's how good they've been for the last 7 or 8 weeks. But you just go down the list, and specifically in the AFC, what more can you ask for a quarterback lineup than Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, if he's healthy, Tua Tagovailoa, if he's healthy, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, who's really come on, although didn't play great against Tennessee on Saturday night.
Also has great hair, by the way, even though he missed that kid in the back of the end zone, still has great hair.
He did, but he's really come on, and I'm looking forward to seeing him on this stage. So, I mean, that's fun. That's a heck of a lot of fun when you're talking about
the same cats that we had in the college game, right? Like watching Stetson run around on Monday night. Trevor Lawrence was that kid a couple years ago, right? Joe Burrow was that kid. So here they go. They get to play another week in, oh my God, he's going to get drafted by Cincinnati. Oh my God, he's going to get drafted by Jack. The Bears have the number one pick. Somebody's going to be the Houston Texans' next quarterback, right? And lo and behold, these dregs wind up. Dude, the most amazing thing is I went to bed not knowing who won the Green Bay game.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up, I saw Seattle in the playoffs, and I thought, I swear to you, I said to my wife at some point last year when the Russell Wilson thing went down, I'm like, oh my God, Seattle, they're going to be like, they're going to get the number one. They're going to be like 2-15. They're going to be awful. And they're a playoff team. Right.
Yeah.
The 49ers, if you would have talked about their quarterback situation and Jimmy G and all that, they'll be awful. Right. No. I mean, so the Lamar thing here, as much as it's falling apart and whatever, you right all wrongs this week. Right. I mean, for all of these franchises, we talked about quarterbacks and quarterbacks moving around. An earlier segment, you and I got at it, and I wanted to throw another name in, Kirk Cousins. Here's RG3 on TV, trying to be larger than life, get another Subway commercial, whatnot. And Kirk Cousins, 10 years later, you like that. I mean, the Ravens thing was 10 years ago now. It's Kalodi Nada and the knee and RG3 playing in the playoff game he shouldn't have been in, and like all of that comes back, and I'm like, Kirk Cousins has a chance to go out and actually justify all the money he got on the front end by winning a couple of games here in an open field in the NFC side, right? And nobody believes in them because they only win by a point every week, and their point differential, and who's Kirk Cousins, and all of these. And the Vikings, if you're a Vikings fan, if you're a Bills fan, how important this is to you, right? Like, that it's never happened for you. And this is your chance on all of that. This is a beautiful time of the year. It sort of sucks to be on the other end of it with no expectations or the expectations that you're going to be helping people clean their lockers out on Monday. And then we're going to be talking about Lamar's money instead of his knee. I'll be using that one all week now that I come up with that one. Like Preakness, once I figured it out, I'm going to steal it. But I would say that this is the land of broken dreams for all of these. And somewhere in here, and last year it was Joe Burrow, right? And I wanted to even start the segment with you with this. The Rams. Dude, it feels like 5 minutes ago, I was walking out of Inglewood and the fireworks and the Rams and screw those draft picks and F those picks and all that stuff. 48 weeks later, the coach wants out. He wants to go do television. I don't want to be a part of this. This is a dumpster fire. No way we're going to be able to win here, right? I mean, and Pete Carroll's figuring it out with Geno Smith, right? So there's a lot of stories in the big city here, right? Like Kingsbury's going to lose his job. The kid got all the money. He hasn't been very good out there. Like all of these storylines, all these little spaceships in all these places. And then next week, my God, six more teams are going to have failed in the wild card round, right? There'll be six more Greg Romans going out the door next week. So this is where this thing picks up real speed to get heroes. And then a year later, F those picks becomes not my franchise. I'll go coach the Broncos. Give me another gig. You know, Sean Payton, I'm not going to deal with these maniacs down here in New Orleans anymore. I'm not done coaching. I'm done coaching here. And hey, man, I always say Harbaugh's here for life and DaCosta's here for life. This is the time of the year to find that out, right? Like the next couple of weeks for all of the moving parts with these organizations, This is an important weekend of football. You get judged by this. And if the Ravens go out to Cincinnati and get blown out with Lamar, it lives with Lamar and his contract. They get Lamar's not hurt, can't get to the field. That's the second year. He doesn't, man, stories this weekend. Things are built in this time of the year.
No question about it. And what's really funny is we have talked about virtually every team in the playoff field. We didn't mention the Giants. I think that was another one we didn't mention, but we haven't mentioned Tom Brady. Tom Brady's in the playoffs. And look, I don't think the Bucs are very good. I mean,
home
8-9.
Home underdog
right,
in the playoffs.
But it's still Tom Brady. So as much as we're talking about all these young quarterbacks in this AFC quarterback juggernaut, you know, you look at the lineup. I mean, it's a real gauntlet. And we've talked about it with the Ravens. I mean, if you're the Ravens right now, you know, if Lamar Jackson comes back and you've got, you know, got have a good chance to beat Cincinnati if he comes back and he's right. But your reward for beating Joe Burrow and the Bengals would be you're most likely going to Kansas City and take it on Patrick Mahomes. And if you win that one, there's probably a really strong chance that you're going to Buffalo and playing Josh Allen. So it really is. And I mean, I'm laying out the storybook that I'm not
exactly
a believer.
Well, Joe Flacco
believer.
Stunk, right? We all know that. I mean, they're not going to build any statue for him, but Luck, Manning, Brady,
yeah.
Kaepernick in the end. But I mean, and we do view these things as like
sure.
pitching matchups, right? We view it as quarterback versus quarterback, even though it's a lot larger than that across 52 other guys on the roster.
No question. And it's funny you bring that up because I was preparing to write this. And then when the NFL came out with their contingency plans with the Buffalo-Cincinnati game being canceled last week and the coin flip scenario came. But it's funny you just mentioned that because Sunday in a lot of ways reminded me of the Ravens going to Cincinnati in week 17 of that season. If you recall, Ray Lewis was inactive, Suggs was inactive, Nada was inactive, Pollard was banged up at that point in time, Yanda was banged up at that point in time. So they, you know, they had six of their seven inactives were notable veteran guys. But remember, Ray Rice and Flacco and Dennis Pitta and Matt Burke, they played like two series and they were done. Ed Reed, Corey Graham, Kerry Williams, they played like two series and they were done. I went back and actually found my article from that day, basically saying, not looking good for this team. You know, they had lost three out of four before they lost that Sunday game against Cincinnati where Tyrod Taylor was running around. So they had lost four out of five to close the season. You know, no one thought the Ravens were winning the Super Bowl at that point in time. And it was just funny to see my writing at that point in time, what the temperature was. And I don't want to say this scenario is the same because it's not, because when you're talking about your quarterback, I don't care who your quarterback is, Lamar Jackson or the most conventional pocket passer you can think of. If your quarterback is not healthy and upright as the regular season concludes and you're going into the playoffs, you're not feeling good about it. And you know, you mentioned, in some of our earlier conversation about, you know, the Jeff Hostetler situation or Nick Foles in Philly, those are outliers, right? For every situation like that, there's a team that doesn't have their quarterback or he's not right, and they get blown out in the first round, and that's that. So, but it was interesting to kind of take that trip down memory lane and see how the Ravens approached that season finale in Cincinnati that year, after they had clinched and didn't have a whole lot to play for other than seeding. Which, you know, was somewhat similar as far as what we saw Sunday and how the Ravens approach it, although they didn't rest nearly as many starters in the end. But, you know, you never really know. But when you look at this field and you look at these matchups, I mean, you know, right now, if you ask me what my Super Bowl pick is, I'm going with the old Chris Berman special, probably Buffalo, San Francisco, if I'm being honest. But who knows? You know, we really don't know. I mean, we might be talking about Trevor Lawrence in the AFC Championship in a few weeks. I mean, I don't think so, but stranger things have happened. So it's fun. And that's where all the frustration and all the uncertainty with Lamar and what's going to happen with this organization and what's going to happen with at offensive coordinator and go down the list. And
are
I get
they signing Roquan Smith?
Yeah. Hey, it's a real question. I mean, and that's complicated. He doesn't have an agent either, by the way, you know, just to throw that out there, as we've mentioned at a couple different points. But in the meantime, there is a game. There are games this weekend. And, you know, let's not take that for granted. You know, this, as much as we can point to flaws and imperfections and shortcomings and wide receiver and different things we can talk about and find fault with the organization, it's another playoff appearance. And that's not something to completely take for granted. Doesn't mean it's good enough. Doesn't mean that you just rest on your laurels and you get complacent.
Well, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to right all wrongs for all of these franchises, I guess is my point. And it's also an opportunity for Kirk Cousins to get embarrassed, right? It's an opportunity for any of these places. I mean, Jacksonville, Duval, I don't even know what the hell that even means. They're all yelling it. I've been going to Jacksonville for 30 years. I haven't ever heard anybody yell, "You Duval," to me. But that's the new thing. And they're selling tickets down there. It was expensive to get in down there the other night. And here's something that I wanted to throw out on the backside of DeMar Hamlin and that game on Monday night and the coin flip and all the league drama in regard to, and also its incredible ability on Sunday to shine itself all up as everything was great and the kid almost died on the field. They tried to play a football game and everything that happened after that is eyewash, as you would say, for me. But that night, there were two big teams in a big game with big stakes on a Monday night that my wife and I planned our menu around it. We were looking forward to it. And I think I even said to you, other than Ravens games, which are their own little train wreck in our world for what we do for a living, despite the fact what Sashi Brown might think this is actually what we do for a living professionally, both of us, that everything stops when they play. But there are big games, and then there's stop-everything games. And then there's sort of playoff games, which all my life have always been in the dead of winter, appointment. I put them in my calendar. When there's six of them because I'm old, I need to figure out the Buffalo-Miami, or that Sunday at 1, put it all in there and make sure it's all together. And I even thought about this weekend. In my younger days, but certainly my radio days, I would, on this weekend, travel around. You know, I would be the guy that would have been at a game on Saturday, flown into Cincinnati on Sunday, and maybe continued on Monday night and gone to the next game. Because I did that a lot of weekends where I went to games that weren't Raven-related, but I covered football, and I loved football, and I loved these games. But these games do take on larger-than-life, even more so, the more they've watered down the preseason, they've watered down the playoff part of this, where when do you really get a big game? And that's what I mean about the DeMar Hamlin game. It's incredible that the country came together the way it did last week because everybody was watching the game, even though it wasn't a playoff game, but everybody was watching the game because the game was exciting, high stakes, but like all of that going on. And this weekend represents that. And we don't have appointment games so much during the calendar year. Certainly not in the NFC this year at all. I mean, none of the games felt like they matter. Now they feel like they ratchet way up where all these organizations, the quarterbacks, the failures, the successes, will be judged. And if you lose this weekend, it probably still wasn't a very good year. Not even in Miami, where they might play their four-string quarterback, I don't know. And they finally had some excitement there for my friends that are Dolphins fans. I know the Seahawks fans, I have a couple of those in my life. They just feel so lucky to be in the tournament. It's been an incredible year. But your Eagles fans, they gotta go back to a Super Bowl now and win, right? Like the level of expectation changes dramatically, even in Kansas City, where it feels like, well, you know, Patrick Mahomes has never played a playoff game on the road.
Wow. Yeah.
Dude.
I think that,
I got that stat the other day, and I'm
makes
what?
Sense.
He has never, Patrick Mahomes has never played a road playoff game. That's insane.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it from the context of, okay, like you think of the Patriots when they were at their absolute best and they were getting home field most years, but you remember how that started was an underdog Patriots team in 2001, right? I mean, Brady, this no name from who could barely hold down the starting job at Michigan's replacing Drew Bledsoe. Like, really? And then, you know, the snow, the tuck game and the snow and Vinatieri and all that. Yeah, it is wild when you think about that with Mahomes. But
he's still playing, by the way, Tom Brady. That Tom Brady is playing this week.
He is playing Monday night against a Cowboys team that did not look good, on Sunday whatsoever. I mean, PU, you want to talk about a team that doesn't feel like they're going in a great direction going into playoffs and Dak Prescott. But you know, you brought up an interesting point as far as the wild card round and what constitutes a successful season. And you and I even talked about this as it pertained to the Ravens. You know, what would what would mark a successful season. And you mentioned if they could get to the divisional round, and I get that overall point. In a big picture sense, though, they've been there with Lamar, right? And that's where they've constantly, that's where they've been put down a couple different times previously. But you look at this wild card field, I kind of look at two teams that I would say, and maybe three. I would say three here, and say, even if they don't move on, they feel really good about their season. You already mentioned Seattle. I mean, my goodness, the expectations were nothing. Geno Smith, people were talking about, are they really, people wanted them to go get Baker Mayfield after the Russell Wilson trade. So you have them. Certainly the Jaguars. I mean, the Jaguars had the first overall pick this year. I mean, the Jaguars were, think back to when the Ravens went down there. I mean, what their record was at that point and what their perception was, and how they've played since then. It's almost like the Ravens fixed them, for lack of a better term. So you have those two teams. And I think the Giants with Dable and Wink, and you kind of look at that roster. Look, Saquon Barkley's terrific. He's had a really good season, and I feel good for him after the health issues he had the last couple of years and getting back from his knee injury. Daniel Jones has certainly improved his standing from where it was over the last couple of years. But you look at that Giants roster, it doesn't scream playoff team. It really doesn't. And that's where you give Dable a heck of a lot of credit. So, you look at Seattle, you look at Jacksonville, you look at the Giants. To me, those are the three teams because of what you mentioned. You might say, okay, well, the Philadelphia Eagles were the number one seed, and obviously they're not playing wild card weekend, but with that comes greater expectations. Miami, okay, not there weren't a ton of people picking them to make the playoffs going into the year, but they started out so, and they were playing so well midway through the season. They were looking like a team that, they were in the conversation. I don't think anyone thought they were the best team in the AFC, but they were in the conversation as far as, do they belong with, that top shelf group, that we've talked about, with Buffalo and KC being in it all year, and Cincinnati working their way into that group, and then the Ravens kind of being on the fringe and where they were. So for them to have fallen off the way they have, for the Tua situation to play out the way it has, which is just, I feel so terrible for him, and what this season is, how this season has played out for him. Not just, I mean, obviously his health is paramount, but you look at the season he was having and how that kind of went sideways. And then unfortunately another concussion issue.
Yeah. I see Trent Green calling the game, and he even talked about his concussion on the air. And I'm like, I remember I was on the air during all that. I remember it was really scary.
Yeah.
And for all these guys, we said Gus Edwards the other day, these head injuries, very, very, I worry for all of them. And then I think about the Andrew Lux who walk away. Right. And there's stories written about all that. And, this is what happened to DeMar Hamlin last week, for sure. There will be off-season decisions made by some of these young men to say, John Urschel type, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah, and even when it's a case of, that was a very almost unprecedented, and I get it, a player passed away 50 years ago on a football field, Detroit Lions player. But, it's something that is so unique. But when something like that happens, even if that was a, I've seen without all the specifics of what caused it, people have talked about, what kind of cardiac event that most likely was, where they talk about that is almost like being struck by lightning. But it brings to the forefront the risk that has always been there, which is concussions and neck injuries and things of that nature. So there's no question. But, to go back to what I was saying about Tua and the Dolphins, they're the kind of team that if you tell them at the beginning of the season they're playing in the wild card round, they sign up for that, right? They're saying great, but knowing how their season played out, and if they go to Buffalo and Tua can't play, if Bridgewater, whether he plays or not, they're probably going to lose. And if Tua, especially if Tua doesn't play, they're probably going to get their butts kicked. Maybe they'd get their butts kicked even with him, but because the Bills are that good and that much better than Miami. But it's the kind of game where the way their season's gone, the way that it's fallen off, you're not satisfied with that. You're not happy with that. So this is a very much, it's a separator round, because I think it's very evident. You look at the teams in the wild card round that you really think can win a Super Bowl. And, to me, that's San
Francisco.
These
are the weeks you get the 41-7s. Right. The second weekend last year was like incredible, but the second weekend you get legitimate good teams that are playing well right now, as opposed to whatever the hell the Ravens are, right? Like,
Yeah, I mean, and I still hold the Ravens in higher regard than a lot of these wild card teams still. That doesn't mean I feel great about the Ravens, but I feel better about them than some other teams that are in the field. But you look at wild card weekend, super wild card weekend, as the NFL is trying to call it now, which is it's just odd. It was funny. You mentioned a few moments ago about feeling old. I had the impression all weekend that there were actually three games on Saturday, two on Sunday and one on Monday. I'm like, oh wait, it's two on Saturday and three on Sunday. I mean,
I
can't
looked
keep
it
it
up
all
like
straight.
2 months ago because I was trying to plan the
Right.
weekend just accordingly, right?
Right. So, but I look at this weekend. I mean, the teams that are playing this weekend that I really feel strongly could win a Super Bowl or at least get to the Super Bowl, let's say, for me, it's the 49ers, obviously Buffalo, obviously Cincinnati. And after that, I mean, I'm not a big believer in the Vikings. I'm just not. I'm not. If they prove me wrong, then I'll be among the many that will say they're wrong, but I'm just not a believer in them. In fact, I wouldn't be at all surprised that the Giants go in there and beat them. And I don't think the Giants are great either. But the Cowboys, a few weeks ago, I would have said maybe. I don't know. They feel like the same old Cowboys to me. And then the Ravens, it's the I don't feel great about it. And if Lamar comes back and looks like MVP Lamar, then they got a shot. It might not be a very good shot, but it's a shot at least. But Seattle, good story. They're not going deep into January. Same with the Jaguars and Chargers. Same with the Dolphins at this point. I already mentioned the Giants and the Vikings, and I mean, Tampa Bay is that team that's. I mean, they're 8-9, right? They can't go far, but they do have Tom Brady. They do have a championship pedigree. I'm not a big believer in Dallas, so they could easily be playing divisional round weekend. And the Bucks have shown this ability to look great for like 10 minutes at a time, and that's about it. I'm not picking them to get very far, but it is Tom
Well, to
Brady,
your
and
point, could Tom Brady win this week? Yes. Could Tom Brady get on a plane and go to Minnesota and win? Yes.
yeah, I
Right?
mean,
Could,
yeah.
right? So that you've just paved your road to, Tom Brady in Philadelphia for a championship, like literally, and there you go. And they're not 8-9 anymore. They're a team that just won two games. And that's how this works.
Yeah.
That's how
I
it worked
mean,
with Joe Burrow last year. That's how it worked with Trevor Lawrence this year, right?
sure. I mean, you never know. I mean, you never know if there's that dark horse. I mean, I don't think it's them. I do think this is the year where, Tom Brady, he doesn't look like that top five kind of quarterback anymore. He's not terrible. My goodness, he's 45 years old. Let's be clear about how remarkable it is what he does. But there's been some fall off this year. I mean, Tampa Bay across the board, there's been drop off. I mean, we saw this firsthand when the Ravens were there on a Thursday night, how that game looked in the first quarter compared to the rest of the way. But it's you go out there and you play the games. And I go back to my 2012 analogy that I use with the Ravens having rested starters in Cincinnati 10 years ago, and how no one thought they were going to they thought they'd win in the first round, be a nice story, Ray Lewis's final home game, and yada yada yada, and they were going to go to Denver and get their ass kicked. Everyone thought that. Everyone thought that. And well, didn't happen. And a few weeks later, you were planning a purple rain too. So you never really know. So, hey, go out there, roll the ball out Sunday night if you're the Ravens or any of these other teams throughout the weekend, and you see what happens.
He will be in Owings Mills all week long. All of it brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast. I am, all my inspiration came from the coffee this morning in the cold roofing mug as well. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Thursday at G&A, Coney Island Hot Dog in White Marsh. Gonna have crab cake with Andy up there. I got some great guests coming by. Nick's coming by from Wise Markets. My pal, Tony Dela Rose. There is a rumor that he is going to be making a special Festivus playoff appearance with us on Thursday between 1 and 4 as well. Big, big times around here. Big week. It's playoff week. Luke's at Owings Mills. We're easy to find. Stay up on the tech servers. All of it brought to you by Coons Ford Security Boulevard with the breaking news and all things Lamar. Luke, you're on Lamar Watch. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.